Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here with y'all today. We'll read our pray and then read our Bibles. Almost had that backwards. And we'll pray at the end as well, so let's pray. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments that we could come together and together read your word, together sing to you, together remember Jesus. And these are precious moments. So God, as we open your word and read together, I pray that through your word, you would speak to our hearts, that what we read in the Bible would indeed be living and powerful, that you would draw us to you and help us to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we're gonna go for a few weeks in Psalm 119. I'm sure you knew that that was coming eventually. We couldn't read the Psalms without hitting, you know, you just bump into it and then it's there. We're going to talk about the Bible, reading the Bible in particular, and how we use the Bible. So today I just want to just get us into it a little bit. You can't do Psalm 119 in one sermon. It would be ridiculously long, and there's so many points in it. So today, I just want to ease us off by talking about what probably is like the elephant in the room in churches normally, maybe not you. So what I'm going to say is very general, not you in particular, not you as a person, but maybe all of us all. Our reality many times is that in spite of knowing a lot about the Bible and talking about the Bible, we sometimes don't read the Bible a lot on our own, in our own personal time. A common thread in among Christians is that it's hard for me to read the Bible. I mean, on Sunday, yes, but then when I go home and I open it, I don't feel inspired to read. I don't know where to read. I try and it's like, it's really hard going. It's like dry and it sounds so disrespectful to say, but boring, and I get distracted, and nothing really grabs me. And we say we're people of the book. Maybe we don't say that anymore, but I grew up hearing that. We're surrounded by Bibles, and now it's on our phone. It's always there. There's never an excuse. And we talk about the Bible and study the Bible, and we believe the Bible, and we talk about how important it is to read the Bible. You've heard this sermon from this pulpit multiple times. If you've been here over the last however long I've been here, we talk about this a lot. However, many times, and again, not all of us, you might be sitting there just like, not me. I read a lot every day. Look at my YouVersion record. I got badges for completing the Bible multiple times. Maybe not you, but many of us, we don't regularly read. We don't read big sections of the Bible. I'm not talking about reading the verse of the day every day, even. It would be hard for many of us to have a good answer to the question, so what has God told you lately in his word? And later in the series, we'll dig deeper into Psalm 119 and talk about how to absorb and actually read and apply and teach others the word. But today, I want us just to go directly to God's word and ask God through his word this question. Why is it so important that I read this book? And I had one. I copy and paste the Bible that we're going to read into my iPad. So I can't lift it up and say this, because that's not. I had one. I was going to bring it this morning. And then the rush, I just like, maybe not. But if I were to lift up a Bible, why is it so important for us to read this, to read the Bible? And then let's let God's word answer that for us, and in the process, hopefully inspire us and draw us in to how beautiful his word is and how much it changes us when we read it. Go to Ezra. I know I said Psalm 119, but go to Ezra chapter 7. There's a verse in Ezra that is going to be kind of if Psalm 119 is what we're going to look at for the next few weeks, this is going to be the foundation of that looking at Psalm 119. This will give us a bit of our outline, so a little bit of historical context just around what we're going to read so it makes sense. Most of God's people were in exile in Babylon when this was written, and some had returned and they had built the temple, and that had been a whole big process, a big deal. They dedicated it. They were starting to establish the worship of the one true God in Jerusalem again. And then from Babylon, a guy named Ezra goes up to, he's a priest of God, leads a group of people back to Jerusalem to end up leading that worship of God and teaching the people. Incredible story, but we're just going to look at one little bit here. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. It says, There went up also to Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, the king, some of the people of Israel, and some of the priests and Levites, the singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For on the first day of the month, he began to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem for the good hand of his God was on him. So look at the sequence of that. He goes up, he's able to leave exile in Babylon, and then he goes up to Jerusalem because, it says, for the good hand of God was on him, because God's good hand was on him. And then verse 10, so there's two becauses. So he was able to do this because God's good hand was on him, because Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rule in Israel. So he was able to do this. He was able to take this group of God's people back to the city of God and restore worship of God. Why? Because God's hand, good hand, was on him. And you just think about that phrase, you go, wow, if only that could be said of me. God's good hand was on me. That's incredible. That's an incredible thing to think about, right? And then why was God's good hand on him? Verse 10, the first little word there, because he had set his heart. He decided, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna study the word of God, and I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna teach other people God's word. That's why. It's because he studied and practiced and taught the word of God. Because of God's word, he had a special connection with God. And if there's anything that's gonna run through today, and that we're gonna see a thread through Psalm 119, even, it's that God's word gives us a special connection to God when we read it, when we absorb it, when we obey it. Before we go to Psalm 119, go to Psalm 19. I was going to say we're dancing around Psalm 119, but it's church, so you can't. We're not dancing. It's ridiculous. So Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 7. So the first six verses, he's extolling the glory of God, and he's talking about how God's creation lifts him up and glorifies him. And then he describes a way that God shows his glory to us and puts himself on display for us. It's through his word. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's God's word. Reviving the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. There's four phrases there, right? And they're two-part phrases. Each one is saying something, God's word, basically, the law of the Lord, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, and they're saying it's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure. And then it says something that it does in us. It restores us. It gives us wisdom. It makes us happy. It brings joy into our heart. It rejoices our heart. It helps us see well both life and ourselves and God. It opens our eyes. And look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true. Just think about that. The rules, God's rules. I don't want anybody to put rules around me. God's rules are true and righteous, so they're just altogether. More to be desired are they. What's the they there? God's rules. What God says, God's word. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So even though we feel that God's word, sometimes when we open and we try to read and it's boring, it's dry, I'm not getting drawn in. The television's right there. There's so many easier ways for dopamine to get fired off of my brain than this book. He says it's better than anything else. It's sweeter than anything else. It's something more valuable than anything else. Look at verse 11 now. Moreover, by them, again what? By God's word, God's rules, Is your servant warned? In keeping them, obeying them, there's great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. We talked last week about inspecting our lives. How do we inspect our lives? What's an incredible way to do that? Through God's word. Keep back, note to yourself, Hebrews 4, 11 and 12. I cut that because just time, right? Psalm 119, you can't have too many other verses. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And we quote verse 14, but that's not said in a vacuum. I want my words and my meditation to be acceptable to you, God. You're my rock and my redeemer. Keep me from presumptuous sins. Keep me from the sins of pride, in other words. Don't let me be dominated by sin. Show me my hidden ways. Why? Why? Because I do all of that through your word, because through your word, your servant is warned. I work backwards through it there, right? But that's what he's saying. God corrects us when we read the Bible. He makes us see our sins. He makes us see our pride, and his word guides us to leave behind our sin and to be acceptable in his sight. Again, Hebrews 4, 11 and 12 would be a great, or 12 and 13, would be an excellent family devotion to butt up against this section of scripture, because they're saying the same things just with different words. Now jump into Psalm 119. Remember, our question is, why? Why do we read the Bible? We're letting God, through his word, extol the benefits of listening to God through his word. So in this incredible psalm about God's word, primarily many other things, we're going to go down, we're going to pull different threads through this psalm in other weeks that are coming. But today, I just want to pull on the thread of, what did David get from God's word? Why did he value it so much? And how much did he value it? What did he look at God's word as? Why did he love it so much? Look, let's start with the first part of that. What did he get from God's word? Okay, we're gonna make three passes through Psalm 119 today. Don't worry, I have to eat lunch too. It won't be that long. But for each one, I'm going to go in order, all right? So you can just go back to the beginning at the end of each one. So verse 17, start with. What did David get from God's word? Why would I want to read the Bible? Deal bountifully, verse 17, with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. He says, there's wondrous things in there. If I read the Bible and it's dry and boring, that's me. That's not because what I'm reading is dry and boring. That's like... Oh, we have time. Okay. Watch The Lord of the Rings. It took two sittings to get the first one. It took two Sunday nights, because we have Sunday night movie night after our congregation time downtown. And it's by midnight, I'm just, put a pin in it. We'll pick it up next week. So 2 weeks, last Sunday, finished Lord of the Rings 1. I loved it. First time I did not. I called it a travelogue through New Zealand. It was the most boring thing. I watched it this time. It was awesome. I didn't fall asleep once, which for me, I never stay awake during a movie. Never fell asleep once. The whole time it was like 5 or 7 hours. It was incredibly long. The director's cut. What was the problem the first time? It wasn't the movie. Same movie. It was me. So when we open up the Bible and it's boring and it's dry, that's us. That's on us. The thing that we're actually contemplating, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God's word contains wondrous things. It's not dry and dead. Look at verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction. What's your comfort in your affliction, David? When you're down, when you're depressed. That your promise gives me life. God's word. His comfort is the word of God, which gives him life. Look at verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. And then verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. God's word has freed him from his afflictions, from going astray. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. By your appointment, by your word, Your ordinance, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law, so he goes from looking at God's word, upholding all of creation, putting everything in place, God spoke and it was, and then he goes to God's law, God's word in him. Look at verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me. So the same thing that God used to create the earth and the world and to give life to everything, to order everything, to establish and fix everything the way it is, his word is the same thing that now even today gives us life. Jump to verse 113. That would be a better way to say that. I hate the double-minded. So that's hypocrites, people who deceive. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. So he's contrasting people who are double-minded, people who are hypocrites, people who aren't worthy of trust with God's law. Hate this, love this. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. See, God is my hiding place and my shield, and I hope in your word. Those aren't two disconnected things. You're my hiding place and my shield, and how do I take refuge in you? What gives me that hope? What makes it's your word? It's the only true and stable thing in life. It's people aren't true. People aren't, they're double-minded. We all are. As we try not to lie and try to be honest and try not to be hypocritical, none of us are that. But God's word, every word that comes from the mouth of God is true. And in that we can put our hope and our trust. 129. Your testimony. Oh, yeah, I couldn't just do one verse. So we're doing a section. 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. Look at what God's word does. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Think about how we approach the word of God. I got to read my Bible this morning. I open my mouth and pant. I really want to read the Bible. Verse 132, turn to me, be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, your word, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. It's all tied to him, God's word connecting him with God. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. His life comes from, why do we read the Bible? His life came from the word of God. He received light and understanding. It kept him safe. It protected him. It set firm his paths. And he is filled with sadness because he knows the life that is in God, that he gets through God's word by listening to God. I'm a mess because there are so many people I know that don't get that, that don't hear God's word. Verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. He finds salvation where? In God's word. 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Why do I read the Bible? Do I want to have peace with God, peace in life? Do I want to have a sure and stable life? Then I would read the Bible. I would value the word of God. Go to 161. So this is a second pass-through, and it's only one section. So it's not really a pass-through. Something else that I see, and it's connected, it's all connected. But for David, God's word connected him to God and this reciprocal relationship with the Father. Look at 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. So there's problems, and then God's word and his relationship to God through his word. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. Remember, he's being persecuted, and in his day, that meant they were trying to kill him. Verse 163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Did he read the Bible 7 times a day? We'll talk about that next week. But at least he praised God for his what God said in his word 7 times a day. So it was on his mind. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all your ways are before me. He needed the word of God. He needed God's help. He needed God. And how did he find God? How was he connected with God? How did he desire to be connected with? It was through his word. God's word gave him a connection to God. It's what we saw with Ezra. Great hand of the Lord on me. Why? Because I read his word and I do what he says. He knew, David knew, I read this and I say, he knew that because of God's word, he had a reciprocal connection with God, where he called out to God and God answered him because he listened to God through his word. And because of that, he loved. And let's end Psalm 119 for us today here. This. Go back to verse 19. He loved. He valued God's word. Verse 19, I'm a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. I want to listen to your voice. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. What delights you and I? What makes you just go, ooh, I'm happy? For him, it was God's word. Verse 47, for I find my delight, that same word, in your commandments, which I love. Have you ever loved someone telling you what to do? He says, if it's God talking, I want to hear that. That's what he says. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments. I'm reaching out. I want to get, for which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Look at verse 69. The insolent smear me with lies, but my whole heart, with my whole heart, I will keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling with fat, but I delight in your law. So they have food and they have everything. They're all, you know, the expression, fat and happy. They're good. He said, but what I delight in, it's not what they delight in. It's your law. It's the law of the Lord. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. He said, I even appreciate the bad times that you've put me through, because that has driven me into your word and it's gotten me more connected with you through your word. 72, the law of your mouth. So what you say, God, is better to me than, it's even hard to read this, isn't it? How could we say this? Better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces? Could I have the gold and silver? And also, I mean, I'll buy a Bible. He says, no, I want that. That's so much more precious to me. Verse 97, and this is another one. I just had to put the whole thing in. It's good, though. Look at how he loved the law of the Lord. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your testimony are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for they have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Have you ever had moments where you've read the Bible and you felt that connection with God because it was alive? You were listening to God in his word, and it's like, this is sweet. This is the most beautiful thing. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. He loved God, and he loved God's word. Two more verses, 140. Your promise, that's God's word, is well tried, and your servant loves it. And then verse 160. The sum of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous rules endures forever. I lied. It was on a different page, not intentionally. 161:2. I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. He loved God's word. Why should we read the Bible? Why should we? Because it's God's word. It comes out of his mouth. It's God breathed, and his word connects us with him. I think about everything we just read. I said, that's it. That's the son. It connects me with him. And through God's word, through reading his word, I receive his presence in my life. God works in me when I read his word. He opens me up and he judges me and refines me and he corrects me and he talks to me and he restores me and he gives me wisdom and joy and he guides me. He talks to us when we read the Bible. God speaks through his word. We listen to God's voice when we read the Bible. That's why we should read the Bible a lot. More about that next week. Our spiritual life, I get to the end of this and I would say this. Our spiritual life, this is something that I've seen just in life work itself out. In my life and in other people's lives that I've observed over the years, and maybe you've seen the same thing or something similar. Maybe now you'll start to see this. But then I see it backed up in the text that we've read today. Our spiritual life, our connection with God, our relationship with God depends on reading the Bible. Reading the Bible is one of the biggest indicators of where you're going in your faith. Are you growing or on a path to growing, or are you on a path to dying? Are you getting closer to God, or are you drifting farther away? Are you just kind of barely staying alive and coming on Sundays once in a while, or are you vibrantly growing closer because you're connected to the vine? It's in huge part that is determined by what we do with the Bible, how we read it, how we absorb it. The more that we see what God does in us when we read his word, the more we will desire and delight in and love his word like David did. So what do we do with this? What's an application for us? Well, for those of us that are Christians, we should remember that God's word connects us with our Father. And before we say, yeah, I know that, we should remember that actively as we read the Bible. So this week, if you would so accept this this assignment, do this. And I'll try to remember to do it myself. You know how my memory works, not very well. But I'll try to do the same thing. So if we all try to do it, maybe some of us will some of the time. Every time we open the Bible, just say to ourselves, this is God's word. And before we quickly say, I know that, let me just get into reading. No, this is God's word. He talks to me when I read it. Reading this connects me to my Father. I know that as we do that, as we just say that, or something similar, use your own words, but as we remind ourselves, God's word, he talks to me, this connects me to him, now I'm going to read it, our experience as we read will little by little be transformed, and his word will be more and more alive as we read it, because we're expecting, I know, this connects me to God. And if you're not a Christian, and you're listening to this, talking about how the word of God connects his children to their Father is an invitation to you. It's an invitation to you to surrender to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, and in that moment decide to follow him, accept him as your Savior and Lord. And when you do that, you enter into the family of God. And then after that, every time that you read the Bible, it's your Father who is talking to you through his word. When you say, yeah, I want that. I want that relationship with God. You tell one of us, one of the men who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized and enter into God's family. And now, it's impossible, I think, to talk about how the word of God connects us with the Father without ending up talking about Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the word of God. And God the Father reveals himself to us through his Son. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. As we prepare to take the bread and the cup together, let's meditate on these words. Long ago, no, I'm sorry. It's Hebrews 1:1. Two ones together are not 11 in this case. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Long ago, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir to all things, through whom he also created the world. He, that's Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And then it continues, exalting Christ, God talks to us through his Son. Jesus is the Word of God, is the verb. He connects us with the Father because of what he did in the cross when he died in our place. Through his death, he paid the price for our wickedness so that in him, we could truly be connected to the Father. We could have access before the throne of God and receive forgiveness and adoption as God's sons and daughters. That's why we take bread, and we take juice, and we remember Jesus' body and his blood with them. We remember his death on the cross, and we thank God that he sent his word through his Son, that he sent his Son, the Word of God, and that we have this connection with the Father through him today. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you call us to yourself and draw us to yourself, and you desire to have us be connected with you and to know you and to hear your voice, and you make your word full of marvelous things, and you make it lovely and beautiful and sweet and delightful. So God, I pray that you would remind us as we read your word that it's you talking to us, that we would be connected with you as we read, that we would hear your voice in your word, that we would come to love and desire and delight in and want your word more and more, that we would be consumed by it. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for sending yourself through him. Thank you that we, through him, can know you and know what you are like. Thank you for what he did on the cross, and that through that we can be truly connected to you and be your children. Now we remember him, and we thank you for that. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.